Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Brad Garrett, crime and terrorism analyst for ABC, joining us live now with a look at ransomware attacks, which, Brad, we have seen time and time again. Here locally, we know everything from hospital systems to school districts have been attacked with ransomware over the last just a couple of years here in Western New York, and it happens all around the country, now gaining more national headlines from the Colonial Pipeline attack. You know, Brad, we hear about cybersecurity all the time, yet stories like this show us that we're not as secure as we might think we are.
No, and I think, Brian, you have to think about it, that by and large, city, county, state cybersecurity, local municipalities, school districts, so forth, you know, do they get information from the federal government, others, about what their cybersecurity should be? And the answer is, of course, yes. But, you know, a vast majority of these folks that I've mentioned, whether it's a police department or a hospital, et cetera, you know, may well not be up to maximum cybersecurity standards. Like, do they have a backup system? Because by and large, what happens is a hospital, a police department gets hacked, and they don't have a backup system. And so they can't get their data back unless they pay. And typically, cyber criminals know what you could pay. In other words, they're not going to ask a local hospital in Buffalo for $10 million, but they might ask for $100,000. And they're going to pay it because it's vital that they have their data, right? I mean, doctors have to be able to monitor things. I mean, your medical records. I mean, it goes on and on. Why it has to be released, you know, as soon as possible, and that's why they pay it.
You know, I'm thinking immediately about the power grid and our water supply. I mean, there's so many questions about critical infrastructure, and they're all privately owned, pretty much, right?
They're all privately owned, Susan, and think about in the last year, because so many people have been working remote. I mean, remember this story about a very small water supply company or agency in like Central Florida? You know, it got hacked, and they controlled and shut them down for a while. And I think it's a great example of people working remote. It adds another layer of vulnerability, because it looks like to me that a large chunk of these hacks occur because of effectively doing what they call phishing operations, where you get an email, you actually even think it may be from your own company or agency, you click on it, and it's malware, and it could be ransom malware, and now it gets into the system, then they get into the server, and then they encrypt everything. They encrypt every file. Virtually everything that you have gets encrypted. It's just too easy to do, I think. And that's why it continues to be done. And it's like every day we're playing catch up.
You mentioned every day we're playing catch up. It seems like a lot of the security measures are reactionary instead of really being able to think ahead, because you're always reacting to what the latest abilities of hackers and people who can apply ransomware seem to be.
That's right. I mean, when the internet was created, I think for whatever reason, cybersecurity was secondary, and I think we didn't even think about it for a while. And so that mindset of being reactive, as to your point, is still there. And I think the other side of this is money. Because if you are a hospital, a police department, whatever, and you don't have a backup system, your cybersecurity is maybe iffy at best, your thoughts are it's still cheaper just to pay the ransom and keep going. Now, that's a bit foolhardy, but there's also the reality of can you afford a backup system? So, you know, all this becomes very complicated, and then you multiply it, obviously, by, you know, the federal government can't tell a city or county government what to do. They can make recommendations. So it becomes, if you're the hacker, it's like we have a great system to go after people because, you know, it's not unified. It's not standardized. And so they can sort of pick and choose and find vulnerabilities.
Brad, should this be a reminder for employees not to do personal business through your work email?
Certainly that. But also, Susan, I mean, if you look at some of these emails, they will even mimic the vice president of your company and make it look like it came from him through the company emails. Now, would you click on an attachment you got from the vice president? Probably. And that's another – I'm using that as an example of how sophisticated they have actually gotten to get people to click on things. But, the real key here is if you have any hesitation about what it is or why did he send me that? Is it really from him? Don't click on it. Do some follow-up and see if that person actually did see – the real person actually did send you an email. Now, I realize that can become time-consuming, but this is how they get in. I mean, they just have to wait for somebody to click on what they've sent out, and then they're off and running.
All right. So my strategy of never opening emails from the higher-ups at our company is looking better and better by the moment that you're talking, Brad.
You can blame me.
That's right. I got an excuse now. Things are moment, every week, things are changing. You mentioned individual companies. The national security advisors are obviously a part of this. The federal government is a part of this. What is the way to keep up to speed, to make sure that we're ahead of the hackers? I mean, at times I think about, should we be hiring like 13-year-olds to get in on this and start working for the government?
I think, Brian, you have to look at what basic things do you need to do, and that is a backup system. Always update the software patches that you get from Apple or whoever your provider might be. And stay on top of all of that day in and day out. And then add to it the stuff we've already talked about, your own personal cyber sort of know-how about not clicking on things, not wandering off into websites that you have no clue about what they are or where they're from. Now, we're all subject to do that because you're like looking for a particular item and all of a sudden you're on some website. Well, I've never heard of these folks. And they may or may not be legitimate. The problem is it comes back and it puts all the pressure on you, the individual, to sort of keep your act together. But I think even us as individuals should have a hard drive under our desk and back up our data because we could certainly be subject to ransomware.
Brad, thank you again, as always. Brad Garrett, crime and terrorism analyst, joining us this morning.